As a minister, Wendy Potter has special insight into building positive, healthy relationships and finding deliverance from the traps that affect many people today. Her passion is to see lives changed and people delivered, healed, and set free. Widowed at a young age, Wendy and her family have turned tragedy into triumph. Boy, I'll tell you, that's big. It's not over when you lose. It's over when you quit.
That's
good. Amen.
Amen. Widowed at a young age, Wendy turned her family turned tragedy into triumph through God's amazing grace. She is a wife to Ken Potter, who is a veteran, a professional engineer, a Bible prophecy scholar. That's big. Wendy is a mother of two adult children, Rob and Marie, and two other children still at home, Kenny and Mikey. Wendy is also the daughter of Van Crouch, my good friend, and nationally known speaker and author. How many of you remember Van Crouch? A lot of hands. Yep. Well, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree here. You're going to find that out. And because Wendy cut her teeth on the Word of God and was ordained at Christian Life Church in Delavan, Wisconsin, she is now living in Evans City, Pennsylvania, and a part of Victory Family Church in Cranberry, Pennsylvania. She has run several Bible prayer study groups in the church. She is also part of a prayer ministry. Reverend Wendy Potter travels to churches all over the United States. She is seen frequently on the Voice of Faith television program, which airs on Cornerstone TV. Wendy comes with answers to your needs through the uncompromised Word of God. Her inspirational message will fill you with hope, purpose, and vision. So get ready to open up. Let's welcome Wendy.
Glory to God.
Amen. Come on, guys. Come on. You can do better than that. Come on. Are you on?
I'm on. Glory to God. Well, it is a privilege and an honor to be here today. I feel the love of God in this house, and it emanates from your pastors, Pastor Tom and Lori Totten. This was birthed in love, is carried out in love, and their faith is working by love. And I sense in by the Spirit of God such a fresh fire amongst this congregation. The Lord Jesus Christ has turned up the volume of your faith, and it's in this house. Well, I have a few giveaways this morning, and I would like Elise and her BFF to come up here and help me hand these out. And because I know that you girls are led of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to hand you something, and you're going to be led of the Lord and give it to whom you believe needs these things. So the first thing I have is a CD that I did at Women of the Word in Christian, or at Lake Lawn Lodge. This was some years ago. I was a fill-in for Reverend Kate McVeigh, who is a Rhema lady that resides in Michigan. And it's called God's a Do It Again God. The last thing he's done isn't the last thing he's going to do. He's going to do more. Go for it. Raise your hand if you want that. She'll give it to you. And then I have Free From Me. How many of you know we just need to get over ourselves? Yeah. I mean, you know, we've all made mistakes. I was at dinner with Pastor Tom and Lori and made a huge mess at my spot. I mean, you would have thought it was a four-year-old kid that ain't there. And I just had to put my napkin down and get over myself. So Free From Me. Go ahead and give that out to whoever you see. And when you girls are done, you can go back to the bookstore and get something that you would like, whatever you would like. This is my little book. I call it a little book with a big message, How to Win Souls and Influence People. And Elise, you can give that out. Yesterday, I was out at Algonquin Commons, because that's where Pastor Tom and Pastor Lori goes. And I tried to find the busiest door on the row, and it was Nordstrom's Rack. So there I stood, with my little bag full of tracks, trying to win souls and influence people. I didn't make too many people mad, and most people were glad, so that was good. So this is the CEO's little instruction book. My father, Van Crouch, put this together. I have a bunch of these back on the book table. If you'd like to purchase one later, and there's a price list and such, But this has a bunch of inspirational quotes and scriptures to go along with it. And then finally, this is the last one of these that I have, and this is a leather-bound Dare to Succeed, and there's no success outside of God's Word. I don't know, I think Pastor Tom and Pastor Lori might need that one. I've got more things too, but and then how many of you know we need to pray? Prayer for a nation. And this is what this is, and it is full of scriptures, and so you be led of the Holy Ghost, my beautiful young lady. Hallelujah. Gabby. Gabby. Hattie. Hattie. I'm not going to forget it. In Jesus' name. I'm starting to recognize people, you know, from this is, I think, our third time here. And so what a privilege and what an honor. Father, we come to you in the majestic, mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that this morning my tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. I thank you that the word of God is going to come forth unhindered and unchecked, boldly in the name of Jesus to dispel the works of the enemy. I thank you, Father God, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is great liberty, and we move in that today in Jesus' name. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about great expectation. I mean, we've got a lot to be excited about. It seems like, you know, you turn on the news or you turn things on and you'd think that the whole world was going to hell in a handbasket. But there are double, quadruple, a lot of great things going on and a lot of great people doing a lot of great things. And I'm sitting among some of the finest right here. So I'm so thankful to be with you this morning. And I know that much of the reason why is that both Tom and Lori have been and still are friends with my dad, Van Crouch. There's nothing they wouldn't do for Van Crouch and nothing that Van Crouch wouldn't do for them. And that's why they go around doing absolutely nothing for each other. But that's really not true, because they're doing something for him this morning by having me. Because if I don't get to preach, I'm on the phone to my dad. And he does not want to hear that, you know? So I'm a special needs child. I have a lot of words that I have to communicate. So I have a special need to preach the word of God. And so I thank you from the heart of my bottom. I mean the bottom of my heart, for allowing me to be here this morning. So I will say undoubtedly that I am Van Crouch's daughter. I tell people, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The nut doesn't fall too far from the tree. And sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. So I thank you again for feeling like a nut this morning. Many of you know that I do have great respect for my father. He graduated in the third of the class that made the upper two-thirds possible. You've got a graduate coming up here, so you know what that means. Instead of graduating magnum cum laude, he graduated Lordy, how come? In three short terms, the Kennedy, Nixon, and Ford term. You know? I mean, it wasn't looking good. In 1968, my parents left Colorado State. We were talking a little bit about Andrew Womack's church in Colorado. They left there in 1968. My dad was a coach at the university there, and he moved to Chicago to work for American Express. They hired him to represent the money order division, and they gave him a sales territory on the tough, crime-ridden south side of the city. And the area he worked in was so tough that the police had an unlisted number. And after a while, then he went to work for the New York Life Insurance Company. They gave him a rate mirror, a rate book and a mirror. The rate book was to calculate how much the policies cost, and the mirror was to watch himself starve to death. He said, you know, Chicago, I mean, I'm from the Windy City that is so cold that the politicians have their hands in their own pocket. But, you know, we need to speak life over our city. We speak life over our church. We speak life over our family. I mean, Leah, I commend you. I know what it takes to run a family. And I know what it takes to serve God and see your kids to serve God. Two kids in college, a school, children in church, with your mother, with your husband, who looks younger, by the way. I think it's because kids are in college. That tends to, college is called the anointing that destroys the yoke. In some ways, if you can carry the financial end of it. But it is no small undertaking to raise a family in the Lord this day and age. And nobody, you know, I mean, I'm doing it too, so I really understand the Lord's strength and his power and his victory is on your life because you walk in the love of God and you have banned all strife. So rise up and keep doing what you do, knowing this, that the Lord is always, excuse me for spitting, gonna see you through. He's always working. You sang it, you believe it. These words are ministering to our bodies. They're ministering to our minds. She's a happier girl this year. Every mama wants a happy girl. Because if her girl's happy, she's happy. And if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Pastors Tom and Lori, I can see what you've done. And I can see that it's just starting to get really fun. Because you've worked and you've plowed. And look at all of this. You could do anything, but this is what you've chosen. You've chosen them, and they've chosen you. Amen. And this is rich. Yes. There's riches in the glory. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And he's adding, and he's adding, and he's adding, and he's adding, and he's renewing your youth. He's renewing your youth. You know why? Because you speak the truth. The power of the Holy Ghost is in this house. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's more than it was last year. Sherry, do you agree? It's more. It's richer. It's thicker. It's greater. It's better. And that's who God is. He's the God of more. He's the God of more than enough. Well, what are you expecting this year? The reason why this is more is because they've expected more, and you've expected more, and you keep doing, and you keep going, and you keep sowing, and you keep growing. Hallelujah. Are you expecting the blessings of the Lord to overtake you?
Yes.
Do you have an expectation of God's word coming to pass in your life?
Yes.
Do you expect what the devil meant for harm for God to turn around and use for your good because you love him and you're the called according to his purpose? Do you know that what you expect, you will attract? If you're expecting goodness, you're going to be drawing goodness towards you. Because people that expect good things do good things. They say good things. And God is good. And God is love. And they walk in love. And you walk in love. And we speak the truth in love. Faith, Pastor Tom knows, as he was sharing about our faith this morning, it works by being crabby. No. By being irritated?
No.
No. It works by love. Well, you can, and we will, turn any devastation in our life to restoration simply by taking God at his word. Well, look what happened to me last year. Well, this is all the education that I have. All my time is consumed. I'm not really the right profile for this. You can if and but all you want, or you can rise up and be all that God has provided in his word. You know, some people and some women and some people have put unrealistic expectations on women for many years. You know, we're all supposed to be all, you know, dolled up and like Barbie doll, and you know, I mean, you know, it's not always realistic, some of the expectations that are put on the human race. I mean, Barbies promote unrealistic expectations in women's bodies. How many of you ladies can agree with that? Well, I can agree with that. I just tried clothes on yesterday. But I will tell you this, women's heads are much harder to put back on in real life than Barbies. I mean, they just snapped right on. Remember the Barbies? Did you girls play with Barbies? I love Barbies. I used to have a divorce Barbie. It came with all the Ken doll stuff.
Oh
I got rid of that thing because I didn't want anything, any spirit of strife around me. And we've got to stay up, you know, and we've got to be the light that we talked about this morning. I used to have a friend, and I say used to have a friend that was so negative that when she looked toward the light at the end of the tunnel, she hoped it was a train. She had mental BO. When she left the room, the light turned on. I mean, there's some people that see the glass half full, and there's others that see the glass half empty. Engineers, like my husband, would say the glass is twice as big as it needs to be. How many of you can't stand those logical people? No, I'm just kidding. The first thing that you and I are going to have to do is tell the enemy of your soul that his time is up. He is 100% finished wreaking havoc in your life and mine. He is bound from his operation in our life. Right, Mike? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. In our house, we start the day with scripture. We start the day and we end the day with scripture.
Can I fix your mic?
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, I'm whispering in there. I don't know how to reuse this. Oh, squeeze. It's hitting your hair, I think. Oh,
okay.
Why is it? Guys, you should get somebody that knows how to do this. No, now it's on the inside.
Okay.
I'm flipping it. Okay. Like that? Let's see.
That'll work.
Hallelujah. Was it my hair that was making it? Okay. I'll try and keep my hair back.
Oh, that's so much better.
Okay, good. I don't want to sound fuzzy at all. He's done. The devil's done. He's finished. It's already, we've already won the battle. Matthew 18:18 says, assuredly, I say to you, John, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. At our house, we start the day with that scripture, binding the devil and telling him he has no right in our home. The only thing that can come near you and I are the things ordered of God, and that is why we do not fear. Psalm 91, 7 through 16 says, 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we've made the Lord, even the Most High, our dwelling place. No evil shall befall us, no plague shall come near our dwelling, for he's given his angels charge over us. They keep us in all our ways, and in their hands they bear us up, lest we dash our foot against a stone. I mean, Psalm 91 is a powerful 16-verse passage of scripture that covers you. And so I would say to each and every person, over each and every member of your family, speak Psalm 91 and cover yourselves, because we are not subject to the evil going on in the world. Finally, in the last verse of that passage, he says, with long life will he satisfy us. And life is more than just the days that you're alive. Yeah. It's the quality of the life that you're living. It's the enjoyment and fulfillment. We want our days to be fulfilled. We want them to count. We want to have the victory while we're here. And it's all wrapped up in the Word of God. Expectations all wrapped up in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, this passage, Psalm 91, will keep us delivered and free from fear of all kinds. And it comes in different forms. It can come in the form of anxiousness. It can come in the form of nervousness. It can come in the form of dread. The work of the enemy has come to an end.
Amen.
Say it with me. Say, the work of the enemy,
the work of the enemy
has come to an end
in my life.
Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:7, you know it, I know it, we believe it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have got to bank on the word. It is the most sure thing. It is the greatest thing that you can invest in. It always yields a return. When you deposit the word in you, it's sure to give you 100% return. Give some men a gun and they'll rob a bank. Give some men a bank and they'll rob everyone. You can always bank on the word. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that comes out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. Amen. We have got to keep sending it. We have got to keep, I can pray for you and I can pray the word and believe God with you, but you have got to send the word forth for you.
Amen.
And maybe some of the people in your family that aren't quite there yet. The devil has no power when the word of God is spoken over your life. You and I will keep a steady stream of the word coming out of our mouth in order to keep the anointing flowing. When you're speaking the word, it changes your atmosphere. It changes wherever you are, your car, your office, your home, your shower. I mean, you can just kind of feel the heaviness sometimes that wants to come sit on your shoulders. Watch TV. That'll be sure to bring something down on you. But you just need to, you know, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. That praise and that worship, it will always dispel the enemy. He inhabits the praises of his people. Let's see. The amount of Christ that we have can be summed up by the amount of word that we have. And Christ in us is the hope of glory. That is where the anointing comes from. That in the revelation of the knowledge of the word. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointing is Christ in you. The anointing is the amount of word in you. Jesus and his word are one. We have got to get the word. There's been a lot of churchianity, you know, going on for many years, a lot of doctrines, a lot of denominations, but this is it. This is it right here. The word, the word, the word, the word, the word. I'm telling you, we cannot get enough of the word. And then rightly dividing the word, studying to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word. God has already made provision for every single solitary thing that you and I need in our life.
Amen.
I want to expect great things this year. We're already a one third of the way through the year. It feels like we were just singing Jingle Bells and, you know, Happy New Year, and here we are, the end of April. Well, I believe the weather's lining up with that in Jesus' name. And you know, you might want to expect good things, but you might feel like, well, you just don't know all that I've been through. Well, that's exactly right. Those things that you have been through are through, and today it's a new day. Each and everything has come to past. It's over. So we don't dwell in the past. We keep going forward. We reach for the prize. This one thing we do, we forget those things that are behind. Sure, they might have left a mark, and from time to time they'll pop up in your thinking throughout the day, but you've got power over whatever those things are. You have power to dispel them with the written word of God. You. The word will work if you work the word. The people that have great expectation know that God is good. And we overcome evil in this world and in our life with the word of God. Romans 12:19-21 says, don't avenge yourselves and give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So when you see all these things going on, don't even get mad, because that will just waste your emotional strength for the things that God has. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And do not be overcome by evil. We're not overcome by the bad reports. Whose report will you believe? We believe the report of the Lord, but we overcome evil with good. This is a good word. Hallelujah. This is a great room full of overcomers. This is a great place to take any thing that you heard that happened. Those emotions, those feelings, yes, God made a soulish realm. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. But our spirit man trumps our soulish man.
Right. Yes.
And this is where you get strong. This is your PowerPoint. This is where you get fueled up. And like it or not, even if you don't hang around with each other outside of church, the fact that you're sitting in the same room is like a connector for the Spirit of God to start working and strengthening. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together with the brethren or the sistren. It's the habit of some, especially as the day of the Lord draws nigh. But encourage each other and build each other up. We have got to be the greatest encouragers of one another. And guess what happens? When you encourage somebody else, that comes back on you. It splashes back on you. It's reciprocity. What we sow, we reap. But if we sit home and we isolate ourselves and we stare at a screen, I'm not saying virtual stuff is bad altogether. It's better than nothing. But we've got to come together and be in each other's presence. Does it take work? Yeah, you got to actually get up. You've got to actually put clothes on. And Kenneth E. Hagin used to say, you know, a little makeup's not bad. If the old barn needs painting, paint it up one side and paint it up another. That's what he actually said that. I don't know how his wife might have felt about that. But it takes effort to be together. And sometimes it doesn't always feel, you know, good. Like, maybe you don't feel like it. But I'll tell you what. When you get out and you get in somebody's presence and you say something good and you do something good and you sow something good, you walk back going, I feel good. Just to know I've been redeemed makes me feel good. Hallelujah. We've got to know that God is a good God and He has good things. The Word tells us in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He's the Father of lights, and we're all His little lights. We're His kids. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, we are. The revelation of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is only, He's only good and does good things is the first most important revelation that we need to get down in our spirits and not forget. Because there's people running around blaming things on God that He never did. Well, why does He let this happen? Well, the devil's the prince of this world, and people muck it up. They muck, you know, they make a mess. We live in a fallen world. People open doors for the enemy to come in, then turn around and blame God. Just listen to a few, and I emphasis on few. John, I know that you would never be able to keep up with all these verses, but you can try. Because He is a mighty man of God. I'll tell you what, His fingers sweep across that keyboard like lightning. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever." Ezra 3:11 says, "And they sang songs responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever towards Israel." Psalm 2:8, "Good and upright is the Lord." Psalm 23:6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." The house of the Lord, the house of the Lord. We're in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 145:9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Mark 10:18, "No one is good but one, that is God." Psalm 27:13, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Well, that's a starter. Good morning, God. I believe I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I mean, you can just get right up and get out of bed and you just start like that. Oh, Lord, You're good. You're good, You're good, You're good. What good and great things are You going to do for me today? Ah, well, that Evie, the devil's probably thinking, that Evie, she's getting out of bed again. I've got to run to the backside of hell and suck on a bottle of Maalox and die. 911, because she's storming the gates again over Testament of Love Church. She's storming the gates again over Kairos Patriot Academy. All her family. I mean, he's got to be afraid of us. We are not afraid of the devil. We have the victory over him. We don't talk about his dirty deeds. Why would we want to waste our breath and our strength on that? Let us talk about what God is doing amongst these young people that are stoked, that are seeing the truth of God's word, that are patriots, that want to see, they want to see America like God intended it to be. Amen. There's a few of the scriptures, these are just a few of the scriptures that depict who our God is. When we pray, we remind the Lord Jesus Christ of who he is. The word actually tells us to remind him of his word. He wants us to remind him. Does that mean he has dementia? No. He just wants to hear us talk him, because it's how we relate to him. We have a relationship. Relationships are important. Communication is communing with one another. It shouldn't be all us talking or all us listening. It's both. It is back and forth. He says in Isaiah 43:26, the word of God says, put me in remembrance of our word. And the only way that we're going to know and experience the blessings and goodness of God is if we will take the time, like Elisa. She said, I'm happier because I renewed my mind. We renew our mind. It's our job, because we all were given the mind of the flesh. And the Bible says that the carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, is at enmity with God. And our mind controls our brain. And we can grow toxic branches just thinking outside of the love of God. If you don't believe me, listen to a neuroscience. Caroline Leaf has a whole book of it, and she shows pictures of the wiring of the mind that, you know, look ugly and yucky when people are not thinking the way God wants them to think. We've got to be in charge. So we've got to renew our mind. Romans 12 says, 2 says, don't be conformed to this world. Wow. Does that mean we have to run around being concerned about political correctness? I think not. No. You know, like Pastor Tom and Pastor Lori were saying this morning, you know, we need to be loving to all. The Bible says hate the sin. Well, hate the sin, love the sinner. We do not have to be politically correct. You and I have to be biblically correct. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove. There's a benefit. God wants you to prove. He wants you to prove. He wants you to prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to grow. Political correctness is conformity to prevailing liberal or radical opinion, in particular by carefully avoiding forms of expression or action that are perceived to exclude, marginalize, or insult groups of people who are socially disadvantaged or discriminated against. I was with my mother at the Galleria. I took her to see 80 for Brady, because she's going to be 80 coming up Labor Day weekend. And we went into a clothing store. I think it was Ann Taylor. And I was looking at some clothes, and up walked this, I mean, it was obvious that it was a man in a skirt. Yeah. You know, he had undergarments on to, you know, make him look more female. He had dyed his hair and, you know. And I didn't know what in the world. I said, excuse me, sir. I mean, ma'am. I mean, sir. I mean, you know, because I was looking for something. And he was kindly coming to wait on me. And I thought, what in the world? And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go share the good news of the gospel with this man. And you know what? He believed that he was already born again. I mean, perhaps he had prayed the prayer of salvation at one time. And the Lord was still, you know, trying to get the old junk out of him. But, you know, so I just told him the word. And I know when I was talking to Pastor Tom and Lori on the phone before I came here, where I'm in a big church environment at Victory Family Church in Cranberry, PA. And I know that there's probably, you know, people, I haven't really seen transgender in there at all, but people that, you know, maybe are getting free from homosexuality or whatever. And Pastor John Nuzzo says, you know, just let the word work. Right. We let the word work. Right. And Faith works by love. So we love them while the word works. We speak the truth in love. And guess what love does? It never fails. It suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth.
Yeah.
And it bears all things. Yeah. It believes all things. It endures all things. And it never fails. It bears a man in a skirt. Or a woman, you know, or a woman in men's clothes. It bears all things. Amen.
Amen.
Well, 1 Corinthians 2:16b says we have the mind of Christ and we hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. And the way we have the mind of Christ is by renewing our mind and retaining that word. Well, did you hear about the person who changed his mind? He needed a brain transplant. You can tell your mind is talking, is talking to your brain into fear when it begins to lose its nerve. You don't want that to happen. Did you know that there's now a special fish that are performing brain surgery? They're called neurosturgeons. Did you know why the neuron was sent to the principal's office? He had trouble controlling his impulses. I mean, we've got to control our thought life. We root out that old way of thinking. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Yes.
True riches are right here.
Yes.
The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. I mean, stuff is good. We need stuff too, but stuff comes with it. That's why we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added unto us. And seeking first is being here. Is being near the anointing. It's being under the spout where the glory comes out. It's helping out when Pastor Lori's got this, that, and the other thing. There are a gazillion details that go into just getting here. It looks like they just put on a nice suit and show up. You know all the things you had to go through to get here this morning. There's a lot, but together we're strong. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, when we root out that old way of thinking, we become stronger. And if it doesn't line up with God's word, then it needs to be rooted out. Well, you know, here's some of the devil's thinking. I just can't do such and so. But the word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, you know, I just don't have enough money for that right now. Well, the word says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have got to be Holy Ghost transformers. Well, now, Leah, you had a couple boys, and I know that there's other moms in here that probably have boys. Remember those little cars that were called transformers? And they looked like this, and then you can manipulate them and turn them around, and they were a big, scary Hulk monster. We need to be like Holy Ghost transformers. The word of God transforms us and it tackles those problems. I mean, we just twist ourselves around and we look like the Hulk, the Holy Ghost Hulk. Indestructible creatures, because that's what those transformers were. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That'll preach to some kids, Sherry. You know, one of those little things. I looked for one down in our basement before I came, but my youngest is now almost 10. So I have two 22s. I have a 16 going on 17 and a 9 going on 10. And I need the Holy Ghost. The word tells us that if we are in Christ, the transformation takes when we begin to take God at his word and speak it over ourselves and our situations. And the word tells us if we're in Christ, we're new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore if, well, are ya? If you're in, if I'm in my house, and I brush my teeth and get dressed and go to sleep and eat there and do my stuff there, that's where I abide. That's where I'm in. But if we're in Christ, we're new creatures. How are we in? By being in the Word, by speaking out the Word, by doing the Word. The word, the word, the word. We cannot get enough of the word.
Right.
You know, we don't have to run around bombarding everybody with the word, but gosh, the word brings the power of God on the scene. Again, yeah. The truth and love, the truth and love, the truth and love, the truth and love. We're transformed into this new creation and in Christ when we're abiding in his word. When we're abiding in it, that means our minds are renewed enough to the word of God. And because of that, we act on it. John 15:7 says, if, it's all up to you. I mean, we can talk till the cows come home, but it's if we actually do. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you.
Yeah.
If we're going to transform our thinking and as a result our lives, it will have to start with daily meditation. Well, I don't have time. I'm busy. I have to get up. I have to go to work. You don't have time not to.
Amen.
You need the word of God to get through your day successfully, triumphantly, victoriously, safely. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth, but we'll meditate therein day and night. And conjunction, what's your function? And we'll meditate therein day and night and observe to do all that's written therein, and then we'll make our way prosperous and have good success. People want to be prosperous and have the good success without doing the ands and thens. We've got to do the conjunctions. We've got to do the whole thing. I'm telling you what, you'll be happy. You'll be full of joy. You'll be on top and rising. Nothing will be able to keep you down. Psalm 119:160a says, the entirety of your word is truth. When we say what he says about us and actually believe, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, Jesus died for us since we're born again. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that his word is the truth, we're going to see the results.
Right,
amen.
Yeah.
Some people, they might say it and it's lip service, but they don't actually believe it. What have you been saying about yourself? You have got to have a good relationship with yourself.
That's right.
Relating in the house of God isn't all just, you know, or in the world, or in a marriage, or in a family. It's not all about just doing for others and being good to others, but are you being good to yourself? Are you having a good conversation with yourself? Amen. Don't be like Santa's depressed little helper. He had low self-esteem. or the guy whose self-esteem was so low that even in the shower he sang backup vocals. Some have a skewed sense of self-esteem and they actually hate themselves. And did you know that if you hate, you are considered, according to the Bible, a murderer? Hate will not work for you.
Right.
What will? Forgiveness.
Yeah.
You will bind the hands of the Lord from working on your behalf. John, 1 John 3:15 says, if anyone hates his brother, that means the transgender, the homosexual, the stuff in the people that are, you know, pushing agendas that Christians don't believe in. Hey, you've got a Pittsburgh ball cap on. Are you from Pittsburgh? I like your hat.
Ever since I saw this one Christian rapper, they started winging it.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Did he go like this? Oh, okay. That's my Christian rapping. Okay. So if anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So if you hate, I kind of think the word's saying we're not born again.
Right.
There's no room for hate. I mean, even the left has those little things that says no hate lives here or whatever. You know, I mean, they use that to validate. We don't validate sin, but we walk in love. Amen. The world is merciless, and it'll send you pictures and messages and images of doom and gloom. For some, the way to renewing the mind is just turn off the news, which is what I did in my room. Because, you know, a three-year-old got shot, a six-year-old got shot, there's curfews for teenagers and this and that and everything else. I'm not listening to that. Yes, I know it's there, but you know what? It's good to know what's going on so we can target our prayer.
Right.
We have got the power. You know, a lot of people, well, the economy is going to crash, the stock market's going down, this, that, and the other else. And I was talking to Pastor Tom in the car the other day, and I said, well, you know what John Hagee said? The dollar will tank when the rapture happens because all the Christians that are keeping the dollar together will be gone. Because the wealth and riches ought to be in our house.
Yeah.
The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
Yeah.
And the just live by
faith.
And faith works by?
Hearing.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Well, we have got to shut off the 5 o'clock hour of fear and failure, followed by the 6 o'clock hour of doubt and unbelief. Do not watch as my stomach turns, a darker day, or all my creeps. And do not watch Jerry Springer, my third cousin, married my best friend's dog. I can't figure out why he wants to bite the postman. We've got to wash those things which are good, pure, lovely, and of a good report. If there's anything virtuous and anything worthy of praise, we think on these things. So you can just ask yourself, is what I'm watching and what I'm listening to worthy of virtue, honor, and praise? If not, you might, you know, turn it off. I like HGTV, except that I come home with, you know, $100,000 ideas. Let's do this. Let's do that. Your bank account's got to line up with all the things you want to get done. By faith, by faith, by faith. And there's going to be times when we are going to have to take authority over our wrong minds. The Bible says, you know, we are supposed to forgive how many times a day? That's 490 times. Like, I can't even count that high through a day. But you know, your mind is a dirty dog. It'll remind you and remind you and remind you. And that doesn't mean that things haven't happened to you that were not right. But you forgive them, you release them to the Lord. You forgive them, you release them to the Lord. You cannot be mad at people that you bless with your own mouth. Bless those that hurt you and despitefully use you. I guarantee you, if you're on planet Earth, you know, for more than 4 hours, you know, when you're an infant, they're already sticking stuff in you in the hospital. You don't know how to forgive, but you know, it doesn't take long before you realize, gee, if I'm going to make it on planet Earth, I better walk in forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity one thought, two thoughts, three thoughts, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Spiritual weapons, such as speaking the word and praying the word, will pull down strongholds. If these strongholds aren't pulled down, they can rise up and defeat you.
Yeah.
So to stay free, we bring each and every thought captive. You know, and being busy about your day or your job, you know, whatever you're doing, keeps your mind. It keeps your mind. Insurance companies are, no, some people just have plain old stinking thinking. And one of the areas where people have wrong thinking is in the belief system that disasters and calamities come from God. For example, I've heard people say in the case of a child's premature death, which has to be the worst thing that any parent could ever go through, Pastor Lori's aware of this story. Maybe some of you that live in this area are. In St. Charles, I have a friend named Wendy DeWald, and it's common news, so I don't think I'm overstepping any bounds. Years ago, when I lived in the Midwest, somebody in our church had introduced me to her, and she had a need for some help for moving. And so my oldest son was like maybe three, and you know how hard it is to just get through the day, you know, keeping busy and all that. And she had a little one, so I thought, well, I'll go help her pack. They can run around, and I'll be doing something with somebody else other than just going, you know. And so I went to help her. Well, here we reconnected through, you know, Facebook sometime later, and on Halloween, which I don't celebrate, which I don't even like to say the word Halloween, but. There was a posting that her 20-year-old and 19-year-old were in a Lexus SUV, and their friend was probably picking them up from school because they went to I think they were both graduated. And they had gone out for lunch or something and were just having a decent time. Well, they all looked down to fuss with the radio, and the kid driving drove right into a bus. Her 20 and 19-year-old were dead on arrival at the hospital, or dead on the scene, they called it, and this was October 31st. And so, you know, she is, you know, overcoming that in the first year. I don't know how people overcome that, but I'm saying that that's got to be the hardest thing that anybody ever endures, would be the death of a child. And there is the thinking out there that this is, you know, that this is, well, God needed them more than we do. No, that's not the truth. Amen. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. Now, I've invited her to church this morning because she's not all that far from here, and I saw her at Christmas time, and she was doing remarkably well. She has two older kids in Madison from a prior marriage, but the fact that she even met with me, I was surprised, and we had conversation. And one of the things that I noticed, and I know that this is what's keeping her well, is the young man that was driving. There was another girl in the back seat. She was, as far as I know, paralyzed on half of her body.
She's doing very well.
You know the story?
I do know the story. I have a friend in my life group, like our prayer group.
And okay.
She is related to the girl.
Okay.
And she is, we're believing that she's going to come back 100%.
Amen.
And we're praying that over her, and she's coming back.
Praise God.
She's walking.
Oh, glory to God.
Yeah, she's doing really well.
Glory to God. Well, and the thing that really impressed me about Wendy, her name is Wendy, was the fact that the young man that was driving, she supports him staying out of jail. She supports him not being charged. She supports him trying to put his life back together. Like, he has more pain than the ones that are in heaven because he's dealing with this and here. And the act of forgiveness, you know, the mothers against drunk drivers and all that forgiveness that we walk in is powerful.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. Well, now, Pastor Tom, I'm, you know, about halfway through and I'm noticing the time. So I'm asking you what you would, how you and Lori would like me to proceed.
Go.
I'll abbreviate in some places. Will that be okay?
Continue.
Are you sure? Okay. All right. So we are getting there. I really have two more points. But you know, the attack has been on the children. And I was sharing this with Pastor Tom, even from the days of Margaret Sanger and family planning and all those things and abortion and all of that. The attack has been on our children, and now with what's been going on in Chicago. And I believe the reason for that is, but at the same time that attack's going on, there's people going to, you know, liberty, and there's kids that are aware of what's going on in the nation, and there's kids that are rising up and serving God and on fire like they've never been on fire before. So there is quadruple, I don't know how much, exponentially more good that's going on than bad, but the enemy's only going to show you the bad because he doesn't want you powerful. But I believe that attack comes because he tells us we are supposed to come to him as a child. He does not have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces, nephews, aunts, and uncles. God only has children, and we're his children, and children are free. And that is what they're against. Make them like little robots marching around in schools afraid to say anything. Yeah. You can hear the hush because everything's digital, you know? Open up your mouth and say something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We've got to say so, and there is wisdom, and there is discretion, and there is a time, and there is being led of the Holy Ghost. But let us not shut up.
Right.
We've got to speak forth the word of God, which brings me to my next point. Great expectation in the people that have it will say that which they want. And one of the reasons why people are living so below what the Lord Jesus Christ sent his son to die for is because they're calling those things that are as though they are.
Right.
When Romans 4:17 says, God, who gives life to the dead, calls those things that be not as though they were. Our words need to be targeted towards that which we want. We say that which we want in our children. We say that which we want in our spouse. We say that which we want in ourselves, which we want in the body of Christ. Some people just say too much. Pastor Tom and Pastor Lori will agree that that could have been me the other night at dinner. Might have been my husband. When we first got married, I talked so much, he sent me to that new self-help group. Have you heard about it? It's called On and On Anon. It's for Talkers Anonymous. Our mouths can be our greatest asset or our worst liability. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:21. What you say about yourself matters. Words are containers of power. Dr. Masaru Emoto's experiment, and many others conducted like it, have shown powerful results of what kind words can do and what unkind words can do. When rice was placed in 3 different glass jars and covered with water and spoken over every day for a month, he saw amazing results. He said thank you to the first jar. He said idiot to the second jar. To the third jar, he completely ignored it. After 1 month, the rice that had been thanked began to ferment and gave off a strong, pleasant aroma. The rice in the second beaker turned black. The rice that was ignored began to rot. Dr. Emoto's experiment provides an important lesson he mentioned in one of his interviews in regards to how we treat children, which I know doesn't go on in your school here because they get so much attention. Indifference, not caring, does the greatest harm. If you go on YouTube, you can see some of these results for yourself and even do your own experiment, you know? Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 11:1, evil words destroys one's friends, and wise discernment rescues the godly. Proverbs 15:4 says, gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 16:24 says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Proverbs 18:4 says, a person's words can be life-giving. Words of truth, words of true wisdom are refreshing as a building brook. A bubbling brook. I think I might have had a little typo there. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one who speaks rashly like thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And, you know, for those of us that do like to communicate extra, we really have to watch it. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it would minister grace to the hearer, that we would grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. So if we're speaking words that are grieving the Holy Spirit, are we unsealed? until the day of redemption. That's dangerous. Like, it's dangerous. And it can be really challenging to think about what we're saying. And sometimes I just get going, you know, so fast, and you're just excited and you're trying to communicate. We really need to think about what we're thinking about, think about what we're saying, thinking about what we're doing. There's so much more that the Word of God has to say about our speech. To communicate is to commune. It is to relate. It is part of relationship. And I guess, you know, the old adage, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all, is still powerful. When you start talking about your future and what you're expecting, you had better minister life to yourselves and your family by speaking forth the oracles of God. Your tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. It composes a symphony in your life. By saying what he says about you, you'll be perfected. If you think you're unloved, God says you're forever loved. If you think you're scarred, God says you're healed. If you say you're weak, God makes you strong. If you recognize that you've been a sinner, God says you're forgiven. If you say that you were abandoned, God says that you are adopted. If you say that you're broken, God says he makes you whole. If you think that you're rejected, God says you're his. If you say that you're alone, God says he's with you always. If you say you're hopeless, God says because of him, you can have hope. If you say that you're purposeless, God says that you're created with purpose. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us say so. You and I have got to get a great case of the besos. I have a case of the besos. If the word says it's so, then it's so. Amen. If you get nothing else out of this today, get a case of the besos. You be so. You be so full of the word. You be so full of joy. You be so full of peace. Hallelujah. Your mouth leads your expectation, and it has the power to direct what you will allow in your life. If you say you're healed, if you say you're headed for destruction, then you're headed for destruction. If you say your life is full of peace and provision, the provision of God, and it's full of it is full of the peace and provision of God. I'm going to say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm going to say that I'm strong in the Lord. I'm going to say that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Simply put, we have, say I have, to say what God says. And finally, last point, don't go home on me quite yet. I know this is a little bit longer, but it's been so fun being with you all today. To raise your expectation, you are going to have vision. Well, what do I need vision for? I'm 79, 80 years old. Well, Donald Trump just said that some men do their best work between 80 and 90. I mean, come on. It is up to you. With long life, will he satisfy you and show you his salvation? That's what's available to you. Expectation is a confident belief or strong hope that a particular event will happen. A man without expectation is someone like someone playing football without a goalpost. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he who keeps the law, happy is he. You can't have expectation without a vision. How will you know when you get there if you don't know where you're going? I know that the Patriot Academy here has a vision, and one of the parts of the vision is helping children develop a lifelong love of learning. Loving to learn is 9/10 of the battle for learning. They have to want to. Kids have to want to. They have a decision to make too. As much as you may want to teach, you need to have a good learner. Amen. Well, that's something that we all need. Mostly we need love, but when children see the love that you have for them and the love that you have for the people in this church, it's going to keep multiplying and adding and bringing. They talk to each other. kids out there and parents out there, and parents know what's going on in the system. They want their children to be loved. People want to be loved. People want to be related to. They want to be greeted. They want to be known. They want to be seen. They want to hear what you have to say. They really do. All of you are here because you wanted to be here, or you wouldn't be. That love is the same love that will continue to bring the more, the people, the students, to Kairos Patriot Academy and TLC, the individualized attention in this church and, that this church and school is founded on is what will make it remarkable. I grew up in a church about this size, maybe a little bit bigger, and I got lots of individual attention, and I needed it. People need to be attended to. We've all got a little too much attention deficit. There's great strength in writing a vision, speaking over it, praying the word over it and to it, and watching it come to pass. Habakkuk 2:2 says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, so that he may read it, so that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and at the end it will speak. It will not lie, though it tarries. Wait for it, for it will surely, 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 it will surely come, and it will not tarry." Amen. I mean, the problem is a lot of people run their lives like Alice did on her trip through Wonderland. If we do not care much about where we end up, we'll just keep wandering around. People with no purpose in life never get anywhere. He who expects little will never be disappointed. Destiny is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. A goal gives you a specific direction to work for, and specific direction will keep you from wasting time and effort. Knowing your destination is half the journey, and there's three reasons why vision and goals are necessary. They provide purpose and direction, they provide specific direction, and they keep you single-minded. Zig Ziglar said in See You at the Top, "Do most people have goals? Apparently not. You can stop 100 young men on any street and ask each one, what are you doing? And that will absolutely guarantee your failure in life. And after recovering from their initial shock, each one will probably say, what do you mean? What I'm doing to guarantee my failure? I'm working for success. Tragically, most people think they are, but if we follow the 100 men until they're 65, only 5 of them will have achieved financial security. Only 1 will be wealthy. You can get better odds than that living in Las Vegas. Do people in life who succeed actually plan to fail? I don't think so. The problem is they don't actually plan. And so planning's important. The 5 P's. Prior planning prevents poor performance. You can't have a school day without a plan. I mean, you've got to keep those kids going and the structure going. Well, I'm wrapping it up with this. Happiness, wealth, and success are byproducts of goal setting, not even the goals themselves. So we're on a journey, and we're gonna enjoy each day, and we're gonna enjoy each day because of what we say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, is there anybody in this room who's never had the joy of making the greatest confession ever by asking Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, into their life? Anybody? Everybody, let's say this together. Say, Father,
Father,
in Jesus' name,
I confess with my mouth,
I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me hungry for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Pastor Lori said that there were prayer partners that were coming up today. And so, shall I remove myself and let that part of the process take place? And if there's anybody that else that would, you know, need or want prayer, I'm available too. I'll be one of the partners.
Praise God. You know, the Bible says faith without works is dead because it's alone. Amen. If you want to act on what you've just heard in any way, relationship, whatever. I mean, there was a ton of seed that was sown this morning. Then I'm going to invite our altar ministers to come up. And if you want to act on any of that, come up and receive prayer and agreement to meet those needs. Amen. Amen.